Welcome back to Ramsey's Recaps. We're in a panic today. Full panic.
I'm afraid to talk. I'm afraid to talk. So, the technology gods want me dead today.
It's this, like, running gag every week behind the scenes that Alana's setup just doesn't work. Today, it really doesn't want us to podcast.
But out of pure fucking spite, here I am.
Here she is.
Here she is, boys. Here she is, world. Against all odds.
Yeah, so if her audio sounds weird, get over it, because we're just trying our best.
If my audio sounds weird, I need you to lie to me. I can't handle it.
It doesn't.
I'm too fragile.
You have to be nice to me.
You have to be nice to me. I've had a morning.
Yeah. So, should we just jump into the episodes?
Yeah, we'll tune in next week for, like, banter and small talk. I fear I'm working on borrowed time.
Well, this week, Gordon's in Austin, Texas. I think this is the first time he's in Texas.
I think so.
Yeah, he doesn't really go to Texas very often. I imagine there's too many barbecue restaurants and he's not a barbecue guy. So, you know, what are you gonna do?
I thought he is a barbecue guy.
Gordon?
Yeah, we just did a barbecue episode. Because I remember I bought ribs on air.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, though. I feel like maybe there's... I don't know why he doesn't go to Texas, then.
I mean, there was barbecue in California. There's barbecue everywhere.
Yeah, but I feel like in Texas, it's very serious.
I mean, Texas, Tennessee, anything like that. But, you know, personally, if I can avoid going to Texas, I personally make the choice to avoid going to Texas.
Right off the bat, I want to start off with a fun fact, because this episode is from, like, 2011, 2012. That was around the time I started watching Rooster Teeth, who are also based in Austin, Texas, and they had a podcast, like, before podcasting was, like, a thing. So, on the Rooster Teeth podcast, they were talking about Gordon Ramsay being in town to film this episode.
Oh, shit.
And I guess Gordon went on, like, some local Austin news show to, like, promote El Greco, but instead he just kept talking about this other sushi restaurant he went to that he really liked.
Oh, no! Because there was nothing good to say, probably.
Yeah. So, that's what we're starting with today.
It's a big yikes.
Also, RIP Rooster Teeth, they closed down, like, literally, like, a week ago, for real.
I wouldn't be able to tell you a single thing about Rooster Teeth. I wouldn't be able to name you a single video they've made or a single person who works.
Do you know Red vs. Blue? The, like, Halo show?
No.
Okay. Do you know Ruby, the anime?
No.
Great. Yeah. Those are the two things you would have known, so.
Fantastic. Well, I rest my case.
Rooster Teeth, I really wanted to work for them back in the early YouTube days because they were one of the first YouTube, like, companies, but then they went downhill real, real fast, especially in 2020 when two of their employees were, like, caught cheating with women who were girls who were too young. And then it's, like, just toxic male culture, and then they got bought by Warner Brothers, and then Warner Brothers, a month ago, decided to just shut them down, so.
Yeah, the thing with YouTube and digital media companies is, like, the Hollywood types, they don't actually know how any of it works. They have no idea how to finance it or anything. They, like, don't get it.
No.
That's been my experience as someone that's tried to go from a solo creator to something with a little more resource behind it. They don't actually know.
No. No, and it's very apparent every time somebody sells their YouTube channel to, like, a different company that's the biggest regret of their life. So, mm-hmm. You know, don't do it. Unless it's, like, mythical, But that's a literal YouTube media company.
Yeah, so. They're really the first ones and kind of the only ones to really do it.
Oh, I know we said we weren't going to banter, but now I'm on a YouTube rant.
That's fine.
Like, also, go to the Kitchen Nightmares YouTube page and look at those titles, because they're hilarious. I stand by that still.
Yeah, this one was called, I forget what it was called now, but it was like, something about how this is the worst restaurant in the universe, so something really dramatic.
Yeah. Did you see all the stuff about the Watcher, that channel?
I saw some stuff about it, but I don't know who they are.
Okay, so they're like ex-BuzzFeed guys. They pulled a Try Guys, and they left. So Shane and Ryan did BuzzFeed Unsolved, which was like the true crime videos on BuzzFeed. And they pulled a Try Guys and left and started Watcher. And continue to do ghost stories and shit. And then a couple other guys from BuzzFeed joined them. So it's just like four dudes from BuzzFeed.
Okay.
Similar. We've all heard this story before. But the drama was that they were going to shut down their YouTube channel and put all of their videos behind a paywall for the low, low price of $5.99 a month. And because they want to, like, I don't know, make more expensive videos. I don't know. The bottom line is everyone was like, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
We're not paying money for YouTube videos.
The pity is that the response was no and fuck you. Like, the response could have been like, no, I can't do that, you know? Like, the correct thing to say as a fan is like, sorry, I can't afford that.
They were mad because the way that they had presented it in the Goodbye YouTube video is that that was a really affordable, cheap option. And everyone who watches their videos are, like, high school and college kids who don't have money.
Okay.
And so they were just, like, mad because they felt it was insensitive because we're in a recession. And I'm like, I'm more mad from the fact that they think they can take their YouTube channel and put it behind a paywall and expect their millions of subscribers to follow them.
Like, yeah, it's hard to do.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you can try. I feel a few different ways about that. Because on one hand, they probably felt like they had to do it. They might have had some kind of manager that thought it was the right thing. But I also think that fans get sort of unfairly mean about that. People will call you a sellout for, like, it's a fine line of, like, everybody wants you to make content like that for free. And I do think that they wanted to, like, I think they called it kind of a pretentious thing, right? They called it, like, they wanted to make, like, television content for the internet or something.
Yeah, the whole, like, thesis of their channel is we make television worthy content but for free on YouTube.
Yeah, unfortunately,
like,
that's
the whole thesis.
That's like not a viable business plan. You like,
yeah,
if you want to have a budget, you need to make money for a budget, and you do that by monetizing your content, which like is hard to do delicately.
I did watch a video, Amanda from Swell Entertainment.
I love her.
I watched her video.
Oh my god, I love her.
I watched her video on the whole. She had like her own take on everything, which is that like, yeah, that's really like cool that you want to do that kind of YouTube channel, but also like I make the same quality video, or I make the same amount of money as you do, doing a video of me just talking to a camera with like a blank screen behind me.
Yeah.
Like, YouTube is not TV. It's not, people don't go there for TV. They go there for, like, podcasts and, like, funny ha-has.
Yeah. It's tricky, because I understand. I understand the want to make higher quality content, and I understand how it's hard to do that as a solo production.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make it yourself. It's also very, very hard to, like, yeah, make a company or join a company. You have to just like put out extra content, you know. You have to do bonuses and all that. You have to do twice the work, really.
Well, and they were already making a fuck ton of money from their Patreon too. Like, you know? I don't know.
Yeah,
being, it does make me wonder how the Try Guys keep going, you know?
I can't tell you from the limited sort of backstage look I got when I went to a Patreon event last year and I listened to Zach Kornfeld give a talk. These companies are never doing as good as you think they are.
Yeah, like, I feel like half the, like, all these videos Keith does where he goes to these fancy restaurants, I'm sure they're paying them something, but they're also doing free promotion for them.
And also, know? Those videos cost a lot.
Yeah.
So, they do a lot of, basically, like, struggling to break even. These YouTube production companies, no matter how big they are, they're never doing as well as you think that they're actually doing, which has been something that's like a bubble that's been popped for me recently. yeah. Is that, like, they look rich. They look rich. But they're not actually.
But that's the point. It's because they're all in LA and they're supposed to, you know? Like, but at the end of the day, like, they drive Priuses. You know, they're not driving, like, Teslas.
Yeah, and this is, like, don't twist my words here, because I would never go and say that, like, being a creator is, like, the hardest of jobs. I would never, like, you know, people are doctors and people save lives and people do actual things that, like, help the world. But when you are, like, an online person and you make the content and sort of stuff like that, there are struggles that come with it, and, like, nobody feels bad for you. It's, like, hard to bitch about it, because everyone's like, oh, well, you could just get a real job, like a real person. And you're like, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's not wrong.
Yeah.
So that's why you get a lot of these people that seem out of touch, because it's not, like, necessarily a job that changes lives. But it is a job, and people like to bitch about their jobs. So that's the only reason why that's why I'm, like, kind of playing devil's advocate about it. We're like, you're right, they're not making nothing. Like, these people are also, like, having families and living comfortably, but they're never, like, as rich as you think. Like, people work on Smosh. Courtney and I are big Smosh fans, so that's always what we come back to. These people that are, like, full-time employees on Smosh also have other side hustles. It's, well, not
they have,
like,
roommates, and they have apartments in LA. You know, they're not, like, living in houses in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, entertainment, while it brings in a lot of money, costs a lot of money to do. So my guess is that they didn't expect it to go so bad. these watcher people.
Yeah.
But there is a degree of it that is, like, both sides are a little out of touch. Like, they're a little out of touch for thinking that people would just drop everything. And I do think the internet's being a little mean about it. Just a little. Just a little.
That's what I think. Also, all their fans are very young.
Yeah, you do have to, you do have to know your audience. That's a big thing.
I think it didn't help at one point. I think one of their wives chimed in at something being like, these guys are making stuff for you for free and you aren't appreciating them, and, like, all we're saying is that it costs a lot of money to do this and we want to be able to provide good content for you, so, like, why are you being mean about it?
Like, yeah, that's a lot. If you want your people to give you more than just a view, you have to really beg. Like, you have to really not eat shit, but you have to beg them for it, and you have to not act like it's a given too.
Also, I feel like online creators forget that it's a symbiotic relationship and that they have to be willing to give to their audience as much as their audience is giving to them.
Exactly, because, you know? Like, you're also, like, YouTube is paying you, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm not getting paid to watch your videos.
Like, yeah, like, you're getting, like, the thing that people are providing you is views, and any additional money is an additional thing that, like, you need to not feel entitled to.
And also, you know, every creator, 90% of the income is from merch. Like, it has to be.
Yeah, that, and that's also something I've been investigating lately that is crazy.
A lot of that's why if you get annoyed at YouTubers pushing their merch all the time, it's because they make most of their money from merch, because ad revenue is really hard, especially when you're a YouTube channel that maybe isn't all that family friendly all the time. So you don't always have the option to have ads running every 5 seconds on your video. And so you have to push your fucking t-shirts.
Also, like, because I have almost released merch a bunch of times. Because every company, like, because I personally, like, I am, you know, customer service based creator. So all of my, like, you know, 95% of my followers are people that are hustling and working minimum wage, hourly, you know, jobs. None of us are made of money. And I struggle with selling, like, a t-shirt because these merch companies, like, in order for the creator to make a profit, they have to, the shirt has to be, like, $45 because of all of the fees and stuff. And if you're not paying, a third-party company those fees, then you're producing it yourself and paying for shipping and paying for all of that. So, like, in order to walk away from a t-shirt, like you have to, like, charge $45 to get, like, $20. And then that's a whole thing, right? Because now you have to sell a $45 t-shirt for you to get $20. But people only see the $45 t-shirt and they're like, can you make a t-shirt that's not so fucking expensive? And you're like, I wish.
Yeah.
So that's why I've been turned off of the whole thing, because I'm like, I don't want to, you know, like, I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. If I'm going to ask you to pitch in more than a view, it's gotta be really good. And I can't justify a t-shirt because we're all just trying to live, you know? So it's all stupid. It's not to get too, like, I'm afraid I'm making this depressing. You can cut whatever.
this is the YouTuber advice portion of the podcast coming from two people. Well, one of us is mildly successful on YouTube, and the other one only watches YouTube.
I know. Guess who's who. Specifically because I've been, like, investigating merch options and, like, publicists and agents and that sort of thing. And they all have been looking up my numbers and been saying, like, you don't have the numbers to ever sell anything ever. And I've been trying to dissect what that means. And I have landed on, like, they're a little wrong, but not entirely wrong. well, they are not.
They raised a lot of money.
Exactly. So they're not, like, but that's because, like, I pitched it in a way that was like, that's the first time I've asked my followers for money, basically. So now if I ever want to ask them for money, if I want to sell anything else, I have to wait a little bit.
You should sell Khaleesi merch, though.
I thought about that. I did think about selling Khaleesi merch. Actually, that's not a bad idea. But
she's a good girl.
But honestly, the GoFundMe has taken care of almost all of that. So, you know, that's a testament to, like, the internet will throw down money if it's something that they deem worthy.
Yeah.
But now I have to, like, play my cards right. If I'm to ask people for money again, it needs to be something that they deem worthy.
As your manager, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, the whole, it's, in 10 years, this market is going to be better. It's because it's still kind of new. Everyone's still kind of learning, A, how to do it, and B, how to exploit it. So it's
also, considering how wild fucking west it was 10 years ago on the fucking internet, like,
exactly, like, nothing is anything nothing is anything, it, you know. So if you want to be a YouTuber, this is what it's like, and sometimes it's fun and also sometimes it's not fun,
and sometimes you're Gordon Ramsay getting made into weird thumbnails.
That's like, so true.
Gordon Society.
I forgot what we were doing. I forgot why we did this podcast, and it was to talk about kitchen nightmares.
Is this not the YouTube advice podcast? Is that not why you're here?
It's interesting because I listened to Colin and Samir a lot, who are creators that make content for creators, which I so wildly appreciate. So if you ever actually want to listen to this kind of stuff from someone who actually knows what they're talking about, go listen to Colin and Samir.
But also, this falls into the category of things I can rant about at a camera for 20 minutes and nobody really cares to listen.
Fair enough.
I also, a tangent, Alana the other day was like, what is the lore of Five Nights at Freddy's? And I was like, I'm not kidding. I will send you a voice memo.
And you know what?
Explain all of the lore. And it was a 15-minute voice
memo. Yeah, I think you sent me one that was 11 minutes and one that was like 4 minutes. And I listened to all of it and I learned something.
Yeah. And I was like, you've unlocked a hyperfixation of mine that's been in it 10 years in the making. So.
Incredible.
There we go. Another hyperfixation, Kitchen Nightmares. I know too much about it.
Hey, someone's gotta.
It's me. I'm the expert on Gordon Ramsay.
Anyway, if you skipped ahead to get to the part where we actually talked about Kitchen Nightmares, welcome back.
Welcome back to Kitchen Nightmares. Ramsay's Recaps, the show about Kitchen Nightmares. Gordon's in Texas visiting El Greco, the Greek.
We're back to our Greek roots, baby.
Dude, he goes to so many Greek restaurants, and I think it's just because there's a lot of fucking Greek restaurants in the United States.
Yeah. And because Greek people yell a lot, and that makes good TV.
It does. And they yelled a lot in this episode.
Yeah, they yelled, I think, more than we've seen anybody yell before.
And they were yelling in Greek.
Which, we'll talk about it. It was amazing. It was amazing.
El Greco is an authentic Greek restaurant owned by Jake and Athena Constantinidis.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Constantinidis. Constantinidis.
Can I see it written down?
Yeah, I'll text you a screenshot.
It sounds like you're saying Constantinidis.
Constantinople. Okay, I told Greek names are hard. Even the Greek people I've met will say that.
Jake and Athena.
I just sent you a screenshot. A screenshot.
Yeah, it does unfortunately look like Constantinitis.
Yeah, like, what am I supposed to do?
Constantinitis, yep. Yeah, it is unfortunately. Constantinidis is probably what it is.
I'm sorry, I don't speak Greek.
I don't either, but something about Constantinitis was very funny. Because that's me. I also have Constantinitis.
Oh, same. It's a Greek restaurant owned by Jake and his mom Athena, spelled A-T-H-I-N-A. So not like the city.
And
not like the Greek goddess.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not like the goddess.
Athena really wanted to open a restaurant, and so Jake went to culinary school, and then they decided that they wanted to open the restaurant together. Athena invested all of her money in it. It was like $800,000 or something.
Revealed that information was crazy, because she was like, yeah, it was about $300,000. But then I also put in another $500,000, and Gordon was like, another $500,000, and she was like, yeah, and he was like, oh, so it's actually $800,000, which is a much bigger difference.
Yeah, it's a bigger number. And then their Athena's sister, Jake's aunt, Kiki, also works in the restaurant. She does not speak English.
Not a single lick. Not a singular bit.
So, the restaurant is located, like, literally across the street from Texas A&M. I think that's the school that's there. Whatever school's in Austin, Texas. It's right across the street from whatever Texas university is there.
Yeah.
It's the big one.
That sounded right.
It's one of the big ones.
Texas A&W.
Yeah, Texas Root Beer. Athena and Kiki are always there at 6 a.m. Jake shows up when he feels like it. Business was thriving in the first year, but then they started fighting because Jake didn't want to show up anymore. Jake says he doesn't want to come in because he's avoiding his mother because she yells at him and he doesn't want to be yelled at because he's a baby. And so he just doesn't come in at all, I guess. And then
I see Courtney is not pro Mike, or what's his name, Jake.
I'm not pro Jake.
So I will say the editing in this got me at first, because in the beginning, it just starts with a lot of Athena yelling, and I was kind of like, I could see why this woman could contribute to a bad working environment. But let me tell you, once we hit like the 15-minute mark, I was like, nope, never mind.
Well, because every other employee in the restaurant says this at one point, where they're like, Jake talks to his mother in a way that if I talked to my mother that way, I would be dead in the ground.
Like, yeah, like, she does yell a lot, but also some of that is just, like, not to stereotype, but, like, Greek people are loud. Like, even when they're just talking, it's kind of a yell. They're very passionate people, and they have a lot of feelings. But the way that he was speaking to his mother, it, like, kind of doesn't matter how much somebody yells at you. Like, you actually can't talk to anybody that way.
And I'm sure they didn't show any of the worst of on camera, but like, if every employee is saying this about you, what are you saying to your mother
when you're off, like, camera? It's not,
it's not just like yelling at her or like fighting with her. Like, are you calling her names? Like, is he calling her like a cunt or something?
It's the get the fuck out of my kitchen, as if she isn't the one that paid for all of it. That was the thing for me.
Yeah, when they're in that. That was later in the episode, but when they're in the, like, staff meeting and they're, like, talking, and he's just done with her, so he's like, get the fuck out of my restaurant. And she's like, this is my restaurant.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's not. It's mine.
That's where I was like, okay, was like, he is actually, like, a man baby. Like, you didn't pay for it. She laid down $1 million, and you didn't do anything.
Yeah. You went to culinary school. Okay.
That was your choice. Yeah, you didn't have to do that, but you chose to.
Yeah. Dummy. So Gordon arrives at the restaurant and meets Jake and Athena. Immediately, Athena's like, can I hug you? And then they sit down together and they describe their roles in the restaurant. Athena explains that her and Kiki also cook in the kitchen. While they're talking, there's a fly buzzing around, and Athena is like, I'm really good at killing the flies. And then she demonstrates to Gordon how she's really good at killing the fly.
Yeah, she just like rips it out of the air, right?
Yeah, she like bats it down to the ground and stomps on it, and Gordon's like, okay, cool.
What a fun little party trick.
Yeah, she fucking Mr. Miyagi that. So while describing a typical day, Jake tries to say that he comes in early and like preps and stuff, but Athena's like, no, he comes at an 11. Jake says he doesn't know what the biggest problem in the restaurant is. Athena says Jake is the biggest problem. She says that he's changed, he's not happy, he talks down to her, he's like always sleeping or playing on his Xbox instead of coming into the restaurant. He calls her a nag.
It's the amount of times this man said the word yap. Like, they are just yapping and yapping and nagging, and they're yapping, and I can't get anything done when they're yapping. And I'm like, that's a red flag. It's like when people call women females.
Oh my God.
Like, it's like a particular ick when, like, ah, they're just yapping.
Well, and then his mother, in front of Gordon and him, is like, I would rather die than continue having my son be this way.
So, that was when I was like, maybe Jake has a point. Because I was like, come on, lady. She also mentioned death a lot. She was like, I wish I were dead. This is like I'm dead. I would prefer to be dead. I'm like, all right. I don't love that energy.
I think in the opening sting, it probably said something about a Greek tragedy, but Athena's really taking this to, like, Medea-level tragedy.
Yeah, she was... This is what... Yeah, I was not on board with her yet because of this little exchange.
Yeah, Athena says she's invested $800,000 and they're still losing money every month. And Gordon's like, hoo boy, let me eat lunch. Gordon meets kitchen manager Anthony and asks him what's going on. Anthony's like, there's a lot of tension between Athena and Jake. Jake is only at the restaurant around 3 hours a day. The rest of the time, he's at home playing with his Xbox.
Anthony Gordon's was hot, like, by the way. Just that I'd like that to be on the record.
Okay, it's on. I've written it down.
Yep, he was hot, and that's important to me.
You know, we love a hot kitchen manager.
I love a hot kitchen manager.
It's a man who gets stuff done.
Yes. And even if he doesn't, that's okay.
Because at least he looks pretty.
Exactly.
Well, then Gordon orders lunch. He gets the stuffed zucchini, the lamb shank, and a moussaka.
Add visceral, visceral reactions to all three.
The zucchini comes out, and it looks like a fucking, like, you know the giant dill pickles? It looks like one of those cut in half, and then, like, cored out.
So, when I saw this hit my television screen, I wasn't super paying attention at first. And I thought it was, like, a dolmade. I thought it was the stuffed grape leaves, because it was, like, wet enough for it to be that. And I was like, oh my god, I love those. I could fuck up a dolmade right now. And then I watched for, you know, 0.2 more seconds. And I was like, that looks foul. That looks dismal. This wet thing. Why was it wet? You texted me and said it was wet. What was it wet with?
I don't know. It was covered in some sort of, like, off-white cream sauce. But it was also sitting in a bed of, like, mush. And they never said what it was stuffed with, either.
I have to assume it was lamb or something. But, like, I've never heard of a stuffed zucchini. I feel like you have to fry it, otherwise it gets soggy.
But that's what I was saying, it looked like a pickle, because it didn't look like cooked.
Yeah, like, it did not look good. It looked foul. Foul as hell.
Yeah, Gordon says it looks like something out of an alien movie.
I agreed.
It's gross and bland.
I never agree with what he says in these, like, initial tries, but I was like, yeah, you're right. That is what it looks like.
Well, then he gets the lamb shank, and it's literally just, like, a gray piece of lamb with a bone, like, on a plate, and there's nothing else with it.
Oh, my God, it was so sad. At my restaurant, when we sell ossobuco, it's, like, the lamb shank, and there's a beautiful, like, demi-glace, like, sauce that it's in, and then there's always, like, carrots and onions and something else that's more of, like, a stew. To have just the meat was, like, off-putting. That's, like, not how...
Yeah, it was, like...
Like, you call yourself traditional, but, like, you would never serve it just, like, the meat with no sauce, nothing.
Like, fucking a la carte lamb shank.
Yeah!
And then... But he says he can tell it's been microwaved because of how it's, like, steaming and how it's rubbery. Because when you reheat meat that's been previously cooked, it gets, like, rubbery, you know?
Yeah.
And I believe this is when we find out about Chef Mike in the kitchen.
The audible sigh I did out loud.
I texted Alana yesterday and I was like, the episode, this is the episode that has Chef Mike in it. And you were like, is this a chef we've met before? And I was like, kind of.
I was thinking of Chef Bobby. I was like, you said it in a way where it was like a name.
Chef Bobby.
Where I was like, oh my God, is it like a another player that we've seen before? Sorry, my dog is barking a lot and I can't do anything about it. I need my sister to wake the fuck up and do something about it.
But no, Chef Mike is the microwave, the microwave in the kitchen.
Yeah, which is like a joke I've seen on the internet before. I, you know, work in a place where, you know, I worked there for 5 years and I can count on one hand the amount of times I've seen anyone use the microwave. It would never occur to me. it's a joke that that exhausts me.
Then he gets the moussaka and he literally flips the plate like 90 degrees and it doesn't move.
It's upsetting.
It's like stuck to the plate.
It is upsetting.
It's stuck to the plate. And he says it's dog food. And then Gordon goes to Jake and the kitchen staff and he's like, this food is not authentic. It sucks. And he says Jake doesn't care about the restaurant and Jake is like not responsive. And so he says, let me talk to Athena alone. And Gordon's like, Jake's lost his passion. And he's like, those who lose their passion are really hard to, like, get back. And he's like, I hope it's not too late. Hope he's not in love with us. He literally, what was it at one point? He's like, why isn't Jake here all the time? Is he in love? Does he have a girlfriend?
It was, like, the weirdest thing to say, where someone else, he, like, asked the kitchen manager, like, how often is he here? And he was like, 3 hours or so a day. And he was like, what? Does he have a girlfriend? Is he in love? And I was like, what are you, what? First of all,
in love with Halo.
Who would love that man? Yeah, first of all, not me.
this is like a mid-40s man who presumably lives with his mother.
I have to assume that he does.
Like, I can only assume they live together, and that's why they also fight all the time, is because they're also living together.
Yeah.
Dinner service that night is fully booked because news of Gordon being in town has reached everyone. I assume because he went on the local Austin news channel and promoted a sushi restaurant instead.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
He was like, yeah, fuck that other place. Have you heard of the sushi place? Really good. Gordon then meets Diego, a line cook who's been there for 14, or who has been cooking for 14 years. And the other line cooks also have, like, a good decade of experience between them. And so all of them are just using the microwave, though. And Gordon's like, so we have all of these cooks with, like, so many years of experience, and we're just using a microwave.
It's so...
All of the burners on the stove are off. None of the burners of the stove are on.
It's so sad. And you can tell that these people are so sad to do it.
Yeah. And even in the talking head thing, Diego's like, yeah, it kind of makes me question my passion for cooking.
Yeah, he was like, it makes me, like, wonder why I even went into this.
And I'm like, my guy, why do you work here still?
Like, that's always what I wonder, that there's, like, six guys here that are just, like, doing it. I guess the, you know, job market's tough is what I have to assume.
Maybe the pay was still pretty good? I don't know.
I can't imagine it was. This feels like a place that wouldn't pay them, just, like, for fun.
Yeah. Well, then Gordon's art, like, goes to Jake and is like, so why are we using the microwave for everything? Like, why are we cooking in the microwave? And Jake is like, we're not cooking in the microwave. We're reheating in the microwave.
This made me want to throw, like, something. I was fucking furious. He was like, no, I'm not cooking it in the microwave, as he's placing something in the microwave. And I'm like, we're right here. We're watching you do it.
The call's coming from inside the house.
Unfucking believable.
And then Gordon is like, it's an open kitchen. All of the chefs are facing the patrons in the restaurant instead of facing the stove.
Yeah, we can see the stove not on. He storms out just to go talk to a camera outside, just to go right back in.
Yeah, he storms out, tells the camera, if you ever see a restaurant where all of the cooks are facing out instead of facing the stove, run away.
Very funny. Very dramatic. Classic Gordon.
So then after dinner service, Gordon sits down with the whole staff and gives them feedback, and Jake starts, like, yelling at Athena, and Athena starts yelling back. And then this is when Jake is like, get the fuck out of my restaurant. And Athena's like, it's my fucking restaurant.
Yeah, and this is when I was back off of Jake. I was like, I'm off. Never mind. I don't feel bad for you anymore.
Yeah, never mind. And then Gordon's like, I'm out. I'm done. I will see you tomorrow.
Yep.
Athena is like, you have to come in at 10 a.m. tomorrow to Jake. Jake's like, yeah, cool, I'll be there. Athena and Kiki get into the restaurant at 6 a.m. Jake doesn't get there till like 12:30. And this is when she fully, and Kiki, loses it on him. And they are, both of them, speaking faster than the wind in Greek at him. And he's like, speaking like Greenglish, like responding to them.
Like, I'm sorry, Gordon was so funny in this.
Yeah, because then Gordon comes in as they're screaming, and Kiki and Athena are like yelling at Gordon about Jake, and Jake is just sitting there like rubbing his eyes, just like deep sighing.
And Gordon's like, "What? Why is she so mad? What are we talking about? What's being? I don't. What? What did she say? What's happening?"
Because Kiki is yelling in Greek, and Gordon's like, "I don't speak Greek."
And Kiki was spitting bars, by the way.
It was like, I know they were yelling. It sounded beautiful how they were saying it, though.
And Kiki was speaking only truths. And yeah, she was calling him names, but I was like, it's warranted. She was calling him an ass, and she was yelling at Athena and being like, you've spoiled your son. He can't even feed himself. He's so fucking lazy. He's ruining everything. And I was like, go off, queen. I don't care that Gordon can't understand you. I can understand you because I have subtitles. And you are spitting bars. You're spitting bars, queen.
Because she also, like, turns to Jake and is like, I'm only here because I love your mother. I hate you. I don't want to be here for you. I'm here for her because you're ruining her life.
Like, yeah, and Jake is just going on and on about, like, you see these women, they nag and they're yapping, and this is why I don't commit, because I can't deal with this. And I was like, this is a woman at the end of her fucking rope. This is not, like, your daily occurrence. This is clearly a woman who's fucking had it.
Yeah, this is a woman who's been trying to get you to come in at 10 a.m. for, like, a year and a half, my guy.
Like, this is where I was counting the amount of times he said the word yap, and I was like, you have to get out of here with yap.
Gordon's solution to this, instead of therapy, is to just start over, wipe the slate clean, pretend it never happened, and I'm like, that's healthy. That's gonna work
out well. I was furious. I was like, no, this man should burn. He needs shame.
Yeah, because Jake is like, I'll change. We'll start over. I love you guys. I don't want to fight with you guys all the time. And then Kiki, like, is hugging and crying and saying, like, this is what I've been telling you. I keep telling you. This is why I keep telling you. And Athena is just, like, shaking her head, like, I don't know. Like,
I hate the expectation of, like, I will change as long as you promise not to yell at me. If you don't yell at me, yeah, then you'll be better. I'm like, no, what's actually going to happen is that you won't do it.
I would change, but my mommy's being mean to me.
Yeah, it's that catch-22 of, like, you're saying that you can't do it because you're being yelled at, but you're being yelled at because you're not doing it, and because just saying it normally didn't work.
Yeah, I was like, if you just do it, they wouldn't yell at you. If you just come in at 10, if you would just come in at 6 a.m. with them and help prep the kitchen for the day, they wouldn't yell at you.
Well, the thing is, so, like, they're prepping, but then why are they microwaving everything? Like, I don't why know. Is it still microwaved if it's being prepped that day? Like, I don't... That was, like, a disconnect for me. I don't know what they're prepping if... Unless they cook... They cook everything in the morning. Is all I can imagine.
What, put it in the fridge?
Yeah, they, like, cook moussaka for 300... Like, they cook 300 orders at 6 a.m., so that all any of the cooks have to do is, like, yeah, pull it out of the fridge and heat it up.
That doesn't make sense, though. They're doing it backwards.
Yeah, it's dumb. If you're going to do it that way, then don't prep at 6 a.m. Prep, you know, an hour before the place opens.
Yeah.
But it's because...
This is where my lack of, like, restaurant prep knowledge comes in, because I have no idea how prep works.
Well, it's... Like, normally what happens, like, you prep some so that when you go to cook it, like,
yeah,
you're putting things
in place, yeah.
Yeah, so you're, like, you know, actively cooking it, but all of the weighted amounts of beef that you need to do to cook the dish fresh is, like, already portioned out. So that you don't need, like, to...
Yeah, sitting in their marinades all day, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to reheat meat that's already cooked, you just cook it then.
Yeah, like you're supposed to.
Yeah, so...
Like a restaurant.
Yeah, I guess it's just because Jake was lazy and was like, I don't want to cook, I just want to cafeteria food it, you know? So I don't know what they were doing, but that didn't make sense to me.
I don't know either. Look, even the shitty Greek place near our college was, like, pretty okay, you know?
Well, that was, like, fast food Greek. That's different, you know? Yeah. That was, like, a drive-through, like, it's basically just euros. You're just getting fries. Yeah, that was, like, a McDonald's of Greek food. So the standards are different because they're not marketing themselves as serving fresh, authentic Greek food. They were serving, like, street food.
and it was delicious, and I loved it.
Yeah. But we knew what we were getting into. They weren't telling us that it was gourmet, fresh, straight from Greece.
Yeah. That's like going to Memo's and then being like, yeah, it's like authentic Mexican food.
Yeah, it's like going to Taco like, Bell.
This is going to give me diarrhea. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Taco Bell. Oh, Taco Bell. So this is my favorite part of the episode. They murder a man here. a man dies today. All of the kitchen staff and Jake and Athena and Kiki, they all like meet out front of this like church steeple, this like parking lot. And they're like, why are we out here? And then Gordon appears in this window with the microwave like three stories above them. And is like, today we start over. And then he hurls a microwave.
The defenestration of Chef Mike. I was rolling on the floor. I was screaming. This bitch is so fucking dramatic.
He fucking punted Chef Mike out a window.
Yeah, they assassinated Chef Mike. They assassinated this microwave, premeditated, in front of, like, to make an example out of Chef Mike. A public execution. Like Anne Boleyn is what they did to Chef Mike.
Gordon Ramsay did a full, like, Assassin's Creed move on him. But then Gordon's like, this is how I know you're committed to changing, is I threw your microwave out a window.
By consulting nobody.
Nobody asked me to do this, but I'm gonna do it anyways. So then he takes them back to the kitchen, and he's like, we're gonna learn new, authentic Greek dishes that everyone will love. And then they give the restaurant the Greek makeover. They give every fucking Greek restaurant of making it blue and white and putting Greek shit on the walls. Yay.
Once again, I didn't care. I didn't clock the decor at all.
The decor before was like, it just looked like a restaurant.
Yeah, it's just like a room. Generic,
yeah, generic gray, red, brown room. Like, then he reveals the new menu, that they're all made fresh. No microwave involved. And then on relaunch night, everything will be cooked fresh to order. All the food is to be made from scratch. All the cooks are excited to be cooking properly for the first time. The diners love the meals, but with more orders coming through, Jake gets overwhelmed and, like, panics. And then customers are left waiting for food because the cooks are left standing around while Jake tries to do everything because I don't know why. And then
Gordon's as if he's like, ever hey, done, it's like as if he's ever done anything before.
And then Gordon like stops and is like, hey, have you tried delegating? And he's like, oh yeah. And then everything's fine.
Fucking dude.
And then once again, meals are going out of the kitchen and everything's all good. And they're like, we're going to break old habits and be good. But the this one is one of those sad episodes where in the what happens next at the very end of the episode, they're like, a few months later, things were going great. But unfortunately, they couldn't get through their insurmountable debt and they did close. I think the restaurant closed like literally a month before this episode aired.
Oh, that sucks.
So like, yeah,
that's the episode tough.
Didn't even air when they were open. So... yeah.
Yeah, I feel
sad ending.
It's sad, but also, like, for the best. I don't think they would have lasted much longer anyway.
Yeah.
That kind of bad dynamic doesn't go away that quickly.
Yeah. This is saying several staff left the restaurant, including the lead line cook, and there were many disagreements after the episode was filmed. According to cook James also claimed that Jake was difficult to work with and had already started cutting corners on Gordon's menu.
Oh my God, really? Jake was difficult to work with? That's shocking.
Who would have thought? Oh my God, I never would have guessed that. Yelp reviews after his visit were mostly poor, with negative comments on the food quality, menu availability, and slow service. Oh, that means they run out of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Local press reported that the regulars were not pleased with the changes that Gordon made. Many regulars claimed that Gordon removed the authentic Greek food and replaced it with generic Greek fast food. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
El Greco.
I don't think they earned the chance to make good, like, true authentic food. They were shit at it.
Yeah, I don't know if calling the microwave stuff they were doing before is authentic.
Yeah, I don't think they have earned that. I think that's not a totally crazy thing for Gordon to have done.
Yeah. Oh, there's a whole Eater Austin post about it. Eater Austin hears from James Holbrook, former bistro cook at El Greco, that internal dealings at the restaurant have been heated over the past few weeks since the Kitchen Nightmares taping, and that several of the staff have left. Austin diners themselves have been debating the quality of El Greco since the transformation. James left El Greco earlier this week, and he tells Eater Austin, after Kitchen Nightmares, his lead cook and the owner's friend of 5 years quit on us during the first week of the new menu. They found a job posting on Craigslist from El Greco looking for line cooks and servers for immediate hire. That's why he sounded like he was from New York. Okay, they had moved from New York City to Austin to open the restaurant. James continues, Jake is very controlling and degrading to work with. He doesn't come downstairs from his condo unless he has to. I don't know exactly what's going on up there, but I know it isn't any good. Wait, he lived above the restaurant?
And he still couldn't come to work?
Are you fucking kidding me?
All he had to do was go down one, like, flight of stairs? That's unbelievable.
I can't with this man.
Oh my god. Yeah, it'd be one thing if he had to drive in, but nope.
I have seen him make waitstaff pay for walked tables out of their tips.
Oh, so that's a crime. They legally aren't allowed to do that.
Seen him flip out and threaten staff with kitchen utensils, etc.
Oh my god.
The quality of the produce used is steadily going downhill. Every corner imaginable is being cut from Ramsay's new menu. I was hoping things would turn around, that I could help him get out of his restaurateur slump. El Greco was a waste for Kitchen Nightmares.
Oof. I mean, I had fun watching it, damn. So I don't know about that. I wouldn't call it a waste. Yeah, I had a good time.
Maybe that's all there was. It was just entertainment.
That's fine by me, personally. The sky sucked, so yeah. I feel bad for his mom, but I don't feel bad for him.
Yeah, I hope she and Kiki are doing okay.
I would argue that Jake now owes his mom $800,000.
Yeah, apparently, and he owes his old staff some tip money, too.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, making your staff pay for that is illegal. Withholding tips is illegal. All that is super illegal.
Yeah, if you're hearing that and you used to work for this guy,
sue.
Do with that information what you will.
Yeah, sue for wage theft.
Well, the statute of limitations might be up on that by now, but...
Yeah, worth a shot.
Who knows? I don't know the laws of Texas.
Gordon can be your character witness.
If you own a restaurant, pay your staff. Okay? It's not their fault that your food sucks.
If you... Look, if you have any business at all and you have any staff that does work for you, you should be paying them.
Yeah.
Just not to be controversial, but I think that if people do work, they should get paid for it.
They deserve to be paid. Unlike the two of us who do this for free.
Yeah, well, we don't have staff, so.
We are our staff.
We are the staff. We are the staff.
If you'd like to pay us, should we start a Patreon?
Oh, God.
I don't even know what would be on the Patreon.
Exactly. I don't know. When it's a podcast, it's like an extra podcast.
It would just be bonus episodes, yeah, and I don't even know what that would be. I guess we could do, like... Kitchen Nightmares on Main and Hotel Hell on Patreon.
It would be that we would go to the restaurants, I think.
Oh, that would be it. You're right. Which we should do anyways, but...
Yes. One day.
Someday. We'll get there. I know I am technically close to a few of them. They're still very far relatively for public transportation, okay? I don't have a car. I cannot just drive there.
I mean, how far is it, actually?
It's like an hour and a half train ride to either one of them.
Oh, you could do that.
I know, but, like, when? I don't have time. I'm working.
All right.
if I'm not working Monday through Friday, my full-time job, I'm doing markets on the weekend. So, you know, when I have free time in the summer, maybe I'll go. But I'm also, oh, this is relevant to the podcast. I am going to be gone for 2 weeks in May for my sister's bachelorette and my brother's graduating high school. So if there's no episodes, don't yell at me.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled that bullshit, so no one yelled at me, so don't worry.
Now it's my turn. It's my turn to pull some bullshit.
We'll try to bank episodes. We'll make it happen.
We got this week's, today, Wednesday, it's not Wednesday today when we're recording this, but today, Wednesday when you're listening to this, this week's is out. We're going to try and bank one for next week, the week after, no guarantees, because we're both busy, but then the week after that, I will be back in town, so.
Hey.
If anything, we might miss a couple.
Courtney will be back in town. You can find her at...
You can find me at Courtney Sile on Instagram.
Oh, I meant your address, but you're right. That's a good segue.
You can find us at Ramsey's Recaps on Instagram. We post there rarely, but every now and then. And then you can find Alana at Alana Fine Woman on Instagram and TikTok.
And until it's banned. The YouTube.
And the YouTube. You can find me on the YouTube at Courtney's Kitchen.
Hey.
I will someday start posting videos there.
Oh my God, you're going to have people subscribe for nothing.
I have been posting my TikToks that I make on there as YouTube shorts. So oh. There are videos on there. They're just not like YouTube.
Okay, videos, okay? I didn't know that. Sorry, I take it back.
So I'm working on it, okay? I am busy. But yeah, thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Next week is actually one of my favorite episodes because the owners are also insane and I love it. And it's all about the owners making the community mad at them. So.
Oh, that's good.
They called them racist.
Oh, shit.
they called the community racist. Uh-oh. And then everyone was like, well, I don't want to go to this restaurant now. And now they have to fix it. So. Stay tuned for that.
That's funny.
Also, if it looks like we're skipping an episode in the feed, it's because the next episode's technically a revisited, but we skip those because this is what the revisiteds are, is what we're doing currently.
Yes.
So we don't need to do it again. So. I think that's all the housekeeping I had. Thank you, everyone. Love you. See you next week. Bye.
I love you. Hug your mothers if you can.
And don't forget to write.
And wash behind your ears. We all look at the same sky.
We all look at the same sky. The same stars.
All right, get out of here, you scamps.